Take time to encourage one another. Tell them what the word meant to you. And then when you're done doing that, sit down, and then I know we're ready to move on. How about a testimony or two, something that somebody got so that you can encourage? Come on, Janelle. Thank you.
Well, hi, my name's Janelle, and Nisi had the opportunity to pray for me, and in doing so, she confirmed a word that I was given on Saturday night that, first of all, I'm wearing purple, so in the natural she saw the purple, that I was of royalty and that I will know who I am in his kingdom, and then that I will also be pulled up in the ranks. And she didn't hear it on Saturday. Thank you.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for sharing, honey. How about one more? One more. Come on out here. Just so we can get it on the video feed. Mary. Thank you, Mary.
Thank you. Ms. Sonia gave me a word and just really broke me up. She said that she saw me as a spiritual mom and that there would be the word quiver kept coming up and there would be a lot of spiritual children. And I've only been in the Houston area about a year and a half. But I have so many spiritual children in Austin, where I came from. And when they call me up, it's, hey, Mom, hey, Mom. And since I've been here in Houston on the jobs, they just attract. You know, God sent them. And it's just a blessing that she heard that, she saw that.
Thank you so much for sharing, Mary. Aren't the prophetic words just, I don't know about you, but I love each one of them. And I want to remind you to do the first thing that pops in your mind. Did anybody see something? How many people saw? Wow, the overwhelming majority. Okay, how many heard something? Oh, okay, that's about a third. How about somebody sensing or feeling? Okay, smaller number. Okay, good, thanks for practicing that. And I also want to remind you to write them down, okay? And then remember, there's a couple new people here tonight, the person that gives you the prophetic word is just the mailman, the postal person. Your job is what? To sit with God and ask him what he means, okay? I want to talk for a minute about obstacles to purity in our seeing. Jesus said in Matthew 6 that the eye is the lamp of the body. And if your eyes are good, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. In Psalm 101, verse 3, it says, I will set no vile thing before my eyes. I'm just going to briefly go through a couple of things that can affect our seeing or our hearing. These things you know, but we need to discuss them briefly. This one, what can I say? Scary and inappropriate movies and TV. Have you ever watched something and just you just shut it off right away? Yes. Yeah. Just know, you just know by the Spirit, no, I don't need to go there, do that. And if that has happened to you and you were subjected to something, just ask the Lord to cleanse your eyes. Take it away. Take away the memory. I put the blood of Jesus on my eyes. How about past emotional wounds? Wounding can cause our discernment to be skewed, okay, and be inaccurate. I want you to think of in us is the purity of the Spirit, right? Holy Spirit is joined our spirit. And so this is flowing in the Spirit in us, but our soul round, mind, will, and emotions, let's say it's like a pipe. And if our pipe is corroded and dirty, what kind of flow is going to come out? Not very pretty, okay? How about bad doctrine? Yeah, that'll affect, for me, that affected me for many years, bad doctrine. No, God doesn't do that. And I kept thinking, I know I'm hearing from the Lord in that. How about stress? Not feeling well. Okay, will that affect? Now, you know, you can push through that. I'll be honest with you, what, a week and a half ago I was sick and I had all the recorders and I had to be here Friday night or Saturday night and I was not well. I was laying on the couch while Ann was teaching and I kept saying, God, you called me to do this. I'm anointed to do it, because a thought came to my mind, you're not going to hear clearly because you're sick. And I just said, you know, as a lifestyle, I'm not going to do things to make myself sick, because it's rare that I ever get sick. But I just pulled on the anointing and pushed through. But if I lived a lifestyle of constant stress, strife, how accurately do you think my prophetic words are going to be when my soul is so messed up? Okay. Another one is fear. Proverbs 29 says this, the fear of man will prove to be a snare. You know, the only thing we're really allowed to fear is God himself. Anything we fear, if you stop and think about it, think of one thing you may have feared, you're actually enthroning that thing. I don't know about you, but if you're prophesying to me, I hope Jesus Christ is enthroned in your... Do you see what I'm saying? Okay. How about disobedience? Yeah, that'll affect it too. Okay. Motives. Motives can taint our gifting. And if we always keep the first thing, right, relationship first, we know that that's why we're out there being used of the Lord. And what we want to stir up in the person we're prophesying over is a relationship. It makes it really easy versus we're trying to be super spiritual or something like that. Okay? I want to give you one or two verses on motives. In Mark 8:33, Jesus said this to Peter. When Jesus turned and looked at his disciples, he rebuked Peter. Get behind me, Satan. He said, you do not have in mind the things of God, but the things of man. Now, if you know that story, what was Peter concerned about, probably? And himself, too. Jesus, no, we're not going to let that happen to you. Jesus was just the reason he came, okay? In Luke 9:52 and following, it says, Jesus says he sent messengers in on ahead who went into a Samaritan village to get things ready for him. But when the people there did not welcome him because he was heading for Jerusalem, the disciples James and John saw this and they asked, Lord, do you want us to call down fire? I've done that. Has anybody else? Have we done that, Carolyn, in prayer? Yes, we have. Way, 15 years ago we did that in prayer. We don't do that anymore. No. You could just feel Holy Spirit leave when you want to do something. But it says here, but Jesus turned and rebuked them. We're always operating out of love, right? God loves us. We're blessed to know how much he loves us and how much he wants to use us. And there's a whole lost world out there angry because they don't know the things that we know. I want to challenge each one of you. I'm not going to take a long time to talk about this. That if you've had some issues in your seeing, to get in a habit of dedicating your eyes to Jesus. I will regularly say, Lord, I give you my eyes. I give you my mouth. I give you my ears. Put the blood of Jesus on them, or even put a little anointing oil. There's some people who, and I'll do this on occasion, is put a little anointing oil and say, Lord, I'm expecting to see. I'm expecting to hear. Okay? To show God you're serious. Okay? Lookers become seers. Now, that's S-E-E-R. I've heard it pronounced seers or seers. I don't know how you actually say it because I've heard it both ways from different groups of people. But we know the spirit world is all around us, whether we're seeing it or not. There is much activity in this room right now, okay? By becoming a seer, we're simply beginning to see what already is, okay? And if we'll meditate on that, we'll realize, yes, Lord's wanting to show me, so I know what's going on. Have any of you ever asked? I've asked for things like this. I have not seen it yet, I'll be honest, but I am contending. I want to see the disease either written on the person or where it is on their body. You know, I did the formula thing where, okay, now here's all the things, and which one do I choose, Jesus, if I'm going to lay hands on the sick? But I hear these people who can literally see things in the spirit, the disease. Now, I've seen demons on people. I saw someone with a stroke and a demon biting their arm. I've seen some things like that, but not to the degree that I want to. And I'm just lovingly saying, with a zeal, I want that. And you see how it would include seeing? That's a talk about accuracy, being able to see if there's a part of their lung that's black. Or, I mean, I hear these testimonies all the time, and I'm like, Lord, that's me using my time wisely if I know exactly what you're telling me to go after, okay? Our goal is to bring an atrophied sense back to life. If you haven't used your muscles for a long time, it's going to take you a couple weeks to get used to lifting weights. Give yourself some time. Like I said, get in the habit of saying, Lord, I'm sitting here in my private time, and I'm believing I'm going to see, and I'm going to give you, you actually have homework tonight. You have your sheet there? Are you excited about having homework? You're going to like this one. I thought it might take too long in class to do this one. Hebrews, see at the bottom there, it says Hebrews 12, 1 and 2. Now in Hebrews 12, it talks about fixing our eyes on Jesus, okay? That fixing our eyes means to view with an undivided attention by looking away from every other object, okay? So there's intentionality in this. To regard fixedly and earnestly, to see distinctly. Here's your homework. I want you, when you're reading your Bible, to find a gospel story and picture it. Find something that you love about Jesus. And the reason you can pick anything in the Bible, really. You could go back to the Garden of Eden, whatever works for you. But I'm using the verse, fixing your eyes on Jesus. So find something that Jesus is in. This is a good place to start. Okay, so the devil isn't there going, but you shouldn't be doing that. Go and sit with Jesus in a gospel story. Then allow yourself to literally see what you're reading. Ask God what he wants to show you from what you're seeing. Then you're going to tune and allow Holy Spirit to start moving you in images. This will work for you. You will see it. It is fun when he starts doing it. Okay? And then I want one or two of you to come back next week and give me a testimony. Okay? All right. I'm just going to mention this, but Elsa teaches dreams. I mean, that's a whole specialized category, but is that one of the ways God speaks, we're finding? Yes. Okay, angels. Anne is going to come up and talk about some angelic interaction she's had.
Well, I'm going to tell you first about one that you probably have encountered this. Many people have encountered this. When I started teaching on angels, we started to see streaks of light in the room. And I would bet there's a large number of people who did that. And when I would shut my eyes, I would see these streaks of light. I'd open my eyes, and there was nothing. I couldn't see anything. I closed my eyes. I could still see these streaks of light, and I would imagine that several in here have had that encounter. I was reading my Bible one day and was kind of leaning over my Bible, and I saw out of the corner of my eye, in the corner of my room, an orange robe. I don't have anything in my house that's orange, so I knew it was an angel. I got up to put water in a glass in a little library area I have one morning. It was after about a week of taking prophetic training, so I had been in the spirit just 24 hours a day for almost a week. I saw up close to the ceiling, I saw this what looked like swirling light, an outer ridge and an inner ridge. And if you go into Ezekiel, it's called whirling wheels. The angels described to Ezekiel, they called it whirling wheels. And it was swirling light, two outside and inside ridge. I shook my head and looked again, and it was gone. And so that, I actually saw that with my eyes. Now, the most amazing visitation of an angel I had was, I was in a dream interpretation class, and we were having a time of worship, and the room disappeared, and standing an arm's length away from me was an angel. The colors were so brilliant, they felt hot, and it was so strong, and I could see his shoulder, and he had a skin the color of bronze, just like Daniel describes in the book of Daniel. And I could see how his wing was attached to his shoulder. I could see where it was part of his shoulder and then grew out of that and came up out of that shoulder. And I was terrified. I was terrified. So I felt sorry for Daniel. So I understood, because I knew this is not our world. It wasn't pale colors like you see here. It was like the people who have had after-death experiences and gone into heaven and have seen heaven and describe the colors as so strong that they're almost hot. They're almost hot. So did you want me to talk about trances too? Really, an open vision and a trance are very similar and very close to seeming like the same thing. But a trance, if you remember Peter's trance, where he didn't, he was almost falling asleep when he started to get this vision. Well, with a trance, you really have no control over it. You can't stop it. You can't start it. God's controlling it completely. I believe Abraham went into a trance when God gave him his covenant with God. God gave him his covenant. I had a trance not long ago. God had told me that I was going to change from one church to another, what church I was attending. And he told me what specific weekend it was. That weekend I was in that church. It was almost like I was falling asleep. And it's almost like it was a dream. But I wasn't, but just a little bit asleep. Do you understand what I'm saying? It's like I was just kind of starting to doze off. I saw this long corridor. I saw a door at the end. I saw Jesus standing in front of the door, and I saw him pull the door shut. So God told me what weekend to change churches, and he told me he shut the door on the old church. And that was completely out of my control. And he didn't want me to be confused. He didn't want me to do anything in my mind to interpret it. He wanted it really clear, and so he gave me a trance. Was there anything else? That's it? Okay.
Thank you. Has anybody else had any trances in here? Anybody else? One? Okay. I haven't had a trance that I know of. Open vision, but not trance. I've never had an angel talk to me, but I see them all the time, very readily. One of the first times I saw them is they were jumping and hopping all around my property outside, and I was sitting outside. I go, "What are they doing?" And he said, "You give them a place to worship." I play 24 hours around the clock worship music both in and outside my house. God told me to do that years ago. And here's what he said to me. He said, "The enemy's broadcasting 24 hours a day. I want to be broadcast 24 hours a day." And there was a night of worship at the church I go to now, and Joshua Mills was in town, and he had a whole night on angels. And I took that recording and put it on a CD, cut it down to just the worship, and I play that 24 hours a day outside my home. Can you see why I might have a lot of angels on my property? Because he's singing about them all day long. I had one that was similar to Anne, where the angel was, it was like a golden, and he was at my feet doing something at my feet. I couldn't make out what it was. This was last summer. It was scary. It was a little scary because I'm looking, and his face was even the color of the gold, which was kind of weird looking to me, not just his feathers and all that. Several times I've seen angels. I have 20-foot ceilings as tall as my indoors, 20-foot. And that's a little bit... like, what are they doing here? That was three times I'd seen that. And then multitude other times. Now, remember, we don't seek to try to have these experiences. We seek what? The Master first. Okay. But you'll be, I'm open, Lord. It's good to be open. Okay, but he's satisfying enough. Remember times they wanted to fall down to the angels and they said, don't worship me. We don't worship that, okay? Two more things. Being caught up in the spirit. Has that happened to anybody? Has anybody been caught up? Whoa, okay, a couple more on that one, okay. This is kind of like a trance, except you're transported somewhere. These are found several places in the Bible. Paul was caught up in the spirit to the third heaven. And he wasn't sure if it was his body, his spirit. I've heard other people say they're not sure what happened. Was it their spirit and their body, just their spirit? I've heard that regularly when I've heard testimonies on it. You can find that in 2 Corinthians 12, 2 and 3. And then in Ezekiel it says, the spirit lifted me up. Okay, so Ezekiel went up too. We know that Enoch regularly went up, because it says he walked with God, and by faith he was translated. Remember, it says that in the book of Hebrews. Okay. I'm just going to go through a real quick list here, and then I have an activation, so I want to get that. I want to get another activation in. Other ways he speaks, colors. He doesn't use that one as much with me, is like highlighting a color, but is there anybody in here that he uses colors? Okay. Yeah, there. I knew the interior decorator would get colors there. Numbers. We kind of talked about this a little bit, but I mean just numbers. This was about a year ago. I just love when God, this is how he's speaking to me. We're in the van on the way to church, and my husband, I look over, and on the odometer of the van is a number. And I'm sitting there at a stoplight, and I look over at the telephone pole. The exact number on the telephone pole is the number on my odometer. Hello. You know, what was God saying? I'm with you, Debbie. I knew you would be in this van on this day, stopped here, and you'd look at that and that and go, what are the chances of, because how many telephone poles could there possibly be in the state of Texas? The exact same number on the telephone pole and my odometer. See how he plays around? Isn't he great? How about handwriting on the wall? Did he speak with handwriting on the wall? Okay. There's a gentleman out there that sells a particular kind of product called Miracle Soap, and he said he saw it written on the wall, the formula for this soap. Is anybody familiar with the product I'm talking about? Yeah, I love that stuff. I've heard testimonies of people just seeing formulas in the air where God wrote something in the air for them, and it turned out to mean money for them. I've asked for that one. I have. It's okay. Hey, no respecter of persons. How about smells? Has anybody ever smelled? Yeah. Oh, a lot of you have. A lot of you had. My first one was at a Benny Hinn, and it was roses. And it wasn't constant. It would just come through, and I'd go, and I could tell that if you kind of, and then it would come through again, okay? I've also smelled smoke and burning. Have you done that? You're looking around. You're in a church building, and you think, is the church on fire? Yeah, you've all had that. Anybody else, anybody have anything that was real interesting with smell?
I smelled bread one night. I was at a prayer meeting, and I was looking around, and of course nothing was there, but it was just God.
That's cool. Okay, Judy?
Cinnamon and spice.
Yeah, I've heard that one too.
Yeah, cinnamon and spice.
Judy smelled cinnamon and spice. I've heard that testimony recently. Anybody else have something real interesting?
Just a foul odor when ministering deliverance.
Yes. Anybody else do deliverance ministry and see that? Somebody else have something interesting? Okay.
This is more common. Lavender, just the feels of lavender.
She said lavender. I have like a little cheat sheet on smells and what they mean. I haven't smelled those, but I've smelled some things, and I'm getting more. If you know God talks that way, then you can be a little bit more, oh, is that the Lord? And ask him. Okay, Judy, did you have something? Sweet Hawaiian flowers. That one sounds good. What, did you ask him if you're going to Hawaii? That's what
I had the experience where I finally was able to do something that the Lord was asking me to do, and I was kind of locked up inside, and as I was doing it, I could smell the freshness of outdoors.
Wow. So you can see, each one was a little bit different what he might have been saying. If anybody wants to look at my little cheat sheet I have here, you can come up and look at it if you had a smell and you want to know what it means. How about tastes? Anybody have tastes in their mouth? Nisi, Barbara? I haven't had that one that I'm aware of. This one I've talked about before. I don't know that I've talked about it here. in this particular class, but I got into the Hebrew letters about a year and a half ago. I mean, I love looking up every word in Hebrew and look, because they all have a picture. Okay? For example, the word Lord, Jehovah, Yahweh, is the pictures hand, grace, nail, and grace. The hand of grace, nailed, and grace. So we just see Lord in our Bible. But what it really means is the hand of grace, nailed, and grace. Isn't that beautiful? And you can do that, like the word to giving thanks literally is a hand and a door and windows opening. Giving thanks. So what do you think? I never looked up complaining. I probably should look that way. It's got to have something to do with something being closed. We know that. He also speaks through prophetic words, right? What you're getting here tonight. Okay, these two young ladies on the front row asked, well, why God would... I said, well, ask him why he said that to you as your destiny word. Okay? He's going to speak through prophetic word. And then he speaks through prophets. I do follow the prophets because we're not an island unto ourselves, and I want to know what they're saying, and it's for confirmation, right? And then one other that he gave me was a shofar. Revelation 1:10 says this, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and I heard behind me a loud voice like a trumpet. Okay, so he could speak. Has anybody ever heard like something like that in the Spirit? Okay, one little quick story on this. Years ago, God hooked me with a man that's very gifted, makes the shofars and blows the shofars, and I was downtown with him at the National Day of Prayer. And I'm standing out there on the National Day of Prayer, and he's blowing this shofar, and it sounded like it was crying. Then I found out that we were standing right next to the Enron building, and it was within that year, before the next day of prayer, that that whole thing broke out. And I didn't know it till afterwards, and I put all the pieces together. I remember thinking, how is he getting that thing to cry? It sounded like it was crying. Okay. All right. I'm not going to get through the feelings tonight or anything like that because I... Yes, Barbara?
I forgot when we were talking about fragrance, but the word that I had tonight, the prophetic word, was that I am an intercessor, which I am. And the word was that my prayer is like a fragrance to God.
That's a good point. Thank you, Barbara. Okay, now I want you to listen to what you're going to do. This prophetic activation is a little bit different. I want you to get in groups of four, okay? When you're in the group of four, I want one person, let's say the shortest person, get in the middle first, which is just so we don't have to sit there and go, who goes first, okay? The other, when you came in, we had paper, and I said, everybody pick up maybe 4, 5, 6 sheets of paper, like scrap paper that I brought from home. Okay, each of you are going to ask God to give you several things, and I want you to write them out, jot them out really quick for the person in the middle. Okay, as soon as you're done with that, everybody's done, then I want you to switch in the next person, get in the middle, and then the other three of you write out what you're getting. It could be a word, it could be you write feeling, I feel this, whatever he's giving you. And then when you're done, each of you should have about 3 sheets of paper, right? If there's 4 of you, you will go home with 3 written words already, okay? Does everybody get the activation? Okay? This is nothing different than what you're doing except that you're writing down. Okay, so I'm going to probably more in the advanced class talk about the writing part of being prophetic. But, okay, everybody get it? So quickly get and be praying in the Spirit. Just hook up with, go, hey, you, and grab hands. If one group has 5, that's okay. Okay, there's only 2 over here. Is there a group of 2? One, we need at least one more. Okay, they need another person over there. Okay, and they need someone here. Okay. All right, if there's only 3 to your group, that's good too. We just didn't want like 6 in a group. Okay. As soon as you've got your group, shortest person, you're the person who gets to have written prophecy over you first. Yes, you can, words, whatever. whatever God gives you, the first thing that pops in your mind. Yes, then they can share it and then switch to the next person. Okay? And when you're done as a group, I want you all to sit down so I know that you're done with this activation. Father, I bind fear, sense of unworthiness. Father God, I thank you for boldness, for courage, for spirit of wisdom and revelation, Father God. I thank you, Father God, that the first things that pop in their minds or the first things you show them will be the things they write down. In Jesus' name. Okay, go to the next person. The first thing that pops in your mind, write it. I'm teaching you how to be fast, too, so you can prophesy to 2 and 3 people really quickly. Remember to sit down so I know your group is done. Are we almost done? One more minute. Groups.